Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Strength for Today Bible broadcast. I trust that God's Word will be a blessing to you as we open up the pages of God's Word. And we're going to be looking this morning at the topic of the four musts of Scripture. You know, you look at what a person feels is necessary in his life, and you'll soon get a good idea of his view of life. There are many people that feel that it's a necessity to make a lot of money by retirement. Others feel it's an absolute must that I get a good workout every day. Others say, well, it's an absolute necessity that I look my best and put on my makeup and look tip-top for the world to see. Sometimes we, even as Christians, can get our needs and our wants mixed up. We need to remember that God promises to meet our needs and not our wants. I think of Luke chapter 14 and verse 18. Where sometimes we can get our necessities out of proportion. You remember in that passage a certain man had made a great supper and invited many to that supper. And it was a picture of the invitation of God to come to the great supper of salvation that God had prepared through His Son, Jesus Christ. Many were invited, which is a picture of Jews and Gentiles combined. And he sent his servants, typical of the prophets, to go out and proclaim the word of God. And interestingly, it says that all began to make excuses. And I think of the out-of-proportion must of one of those that had been invited when he said, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. Well, that seems kind of silly that someone would invest in a piece of ground without having seen it, but that was his must. It was a necessity. It was a must that was out of proportion. In great biblical contrast, I think of the must of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who even as a young boy at 12 years of age said, I must be about my Father's business. So we're going to be looking at some necessities that are presented to us in the Gospel of John. There are four musts in Scripture that we're going to be looking at in the Gospel of John. Responding properly to these four musts will transform us from sinner to meeting our Savior to becoming a saint and being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 3 and verse 7. The first must that God's Word provides for us is the must of the sinner's regeneration. The word regeneration means the giving of eternal life. You see, the Word of God teaches that we're lost and dead in our trespasses and our sins. And we need to have our spirit made alive by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Him as our personal Savior. And I want you to notice the first must that is found in John chapter 3 and verse 7, the must of the sinner's regeneration. Jesus says, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, the Word of God uses this verse in the context of Nicodemus, I want you to notice that Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he comes to Jesus by night, and he says, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." Now, Nicodemus was a moral man. Nicodemus was a man who was a religious man. He was a prominent man. But Nicodemus was confused in the area of the necessities of life for entrance into the kingdom of God. Jesus explained to him that it was not by race. It was not by royalty and all of his credentials, being a Pharisee and being a member of the Sanhedrin and being a teacher of the Jews. Jesus had to explain to him that it was not by even religion. Religion is defined as man seeking God. True biblical teaching is God seeking man, opening his eyes so that man in turn will receive the Lord. It's not by race. It's not by royalty. Our salvation and regeneration is not by religion, but it's by relationship. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Ye must be born again. We must be born into the family of God in order to receive eternal life. The Word of God says we must be born again. The word "again" is the Greek word anothen, which means born from above. Just as you were born into an earthly family, in order to be saved, in order to be regenerated and receive the life of God that is eternal life, you must come to the place where you are born into the family of God by realizing your lost condition and that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself. Oh, how I thank the Lord how that as an 11-year-old boy, I realized that my salvation was not by race, certainly not by royalty or religion, but by a needed relationship in receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And God became my Heavenly Father then. And I was born into the family of God, into the family above. I was born again. So the first must of Scripture, as found in the Gospel of John, is the must of the sinner's regeneration. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you have His eternal life flowing through you? The Word of God says, "He who has the Son has everlasting life." The second must of Scripture is the must of the Savior's redemption. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, we have the words of Jesus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must," there's the word, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus was referring us back to the Old Testament occurrence in the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 5. The children of Israel had been in their wilderness journey, and as they were going through the wilderness journey, facing battle, facing conflict against the enemy, so typical of the Christian life, the Word of God says they were discouraged because of the way. Numbers 21:4. Some of you, in your journey to heaven and your journey towards that wonderful place that the Lord is preparing for you, some of you may grow discouraged because of the way, because there are trials and testings that you may be facing. But don't murmur. Don't complain. I want you to notice four things regarding the children of Israel as they were going through this wilderness journey that led them to the need of seeing the must of the Savior's redemption. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 4 of Numbers 21, their calamity. They journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. It was a hard way. It was a difficult way. It was a way that was fraught with danger, but the Lord promised His presence. But as a result of the calamity, I want you to notice, because they grew discouraged and began to murmur and complain, we see not only their calamity, but their condemnation. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have we brought up this people out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread." They were complaining about the Lord's provision. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Oh, the condemnation that is found. But I want you to notice the third aspect. There's their confession. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people." They confessed their sins. You know, every member of the human race has been bitten by the serpent of sin. Ever since Adam, we have all sinned, individually as well as nationally. And the Word of God tells us that there's one cure. And that's the fourth aspect I want you to notice in verses 8 through 10. We've seen the calamity, the condemnation, but the confession, and now the cure. And if you'll confess your need of the Savior and your need to look to the Lord has the cure. The Lord said to Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent." You see, this is the serpent that Jesus was speaking of when he delineated the must of the Savior's redemption. "Make a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it'll come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the Word of God continues and says, "The children of Israel set forward in the work of the Lord." And we see that progress that was made as they went on towards Oboth in the Christian life, serving the Lord. Oh, there's that cure. The Lord tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 14, that tremendous, tremendous scripture, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The must of the Savior's redemption. If you could save your soul by your own good works, Jesus never would have had to have gone to the cross. But it was the must of the Savior's redemption. The men who had been bitten by the serpents were hopelessly condemned to a premature death. But it was only through the lifting up of that fiery brass serpent, lifted up in the wilderness, that provided the salvation. Oh, it says in Isaiah 45 and verse 22, "Look unto me and live." Oh, have you looked unto Jesus Christ, who is your only hope of salvation? The must of the Savior's redemption. The Word of God says in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we've seen the must of the sinner's regeneration. Ye must be born again. We've seen the must of the Savior's redemption in verse 14. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now I want you to notice the must of the saint's renunciation. In order to come to the Savior, you must realize that you're a sinner. But then he transforms you to a saint. And in order to be righteous in Christ Jesus, which is what we are in Christ Jesus, saints in Christ Jesus, sinless ones through our positional standing in Christ, the Word of God says, the saint's renunciation, verse 30, the words of John the Baptist, which ought to be typical of us as we serve and walk upon this earth and serve our Lord. He must increase and I must decrease. This is the victory of the saints' renunciation. This is the victory of the spiritual walk, successfully walking with God, yielding our lives daily, asking God to be magnified in our bodies, and our dying daily to self. How can Christ increase in your life? How can Christ increase in my life? I'd like to share 5 ways with you. Then you can have the testimony like John the Baptist. He must increase, and I must decrease. Number 1, recognize all known sin in your life as a Christian. You've already been saved, but those sins are going to come into your life that need to be daily confessed. Recognize all known sin. Number 2, repent of that sin. Name it. Repent of it. Number 3, having repented of that sin, reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Then, after reaffirming your commitment, reflect on His Word daily. And finally, number 5, relate with other godly believers. Accountability, being with the right kind of crowd, having friends that are able to pull you up rather than to drag you down. Oh, I think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he says in Philippians, "Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." Paul said in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 18, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That means the first place. Oh, we need to make more of His person. We need to make more of His position in our lives. And we need to make more of His purposes. The Lord wants us to follow His purposes. That's why He saved us. The reason why He didn't rapture us to heaven the minute that we receive Christ as Savior is that He wants us to be involved in the 3 S's: soul winning, service, and strengthening other believers. Are you doing all that God wants you to do? Oh, the fields are white unto harvest. Others need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, even as someone once told you. Are you willing to tell others? Oh, the must of the saints' renunciation. If you're willing to say, He must increase and I must decrease, that means that there's going to need to be a change in your musts. There's going to need to be a yielding to His agenda for your life, His priorities. Make a change of your concept of His person. Make Him the focal point of your life. Give Him the preeminence of position and surrender your purposes for His purposes: soul winning, service, and strengthening other believers. Get involved in a good Bible-believing church. If you don't have a home church that's preaching the Word of God, I'd encourage you to come to Central Florida Bible Church. Oh, how we would love to be able to use your spiritual gifts in the work of the Lord. Will you obey Him and seek to make more of His purposes in your life? I'd like for us to look at the 4th divine must of Scripture. We've seen the must of the sinner's regeneration, the must of the Savior's redemption, the must of the saint's renunciation. But now, 4thly, the must of the servant's responsibility. The must of the servant's responsibility. And we have a responsibility because we have been the recipients of grace and love and God's care, and the Lord would then have us to be responsible. Here we have the words of our heavenly Savior. Having followed the will of His Father every step of the way, He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me. There's the divine necessity, the must of the servant's responsibility. Do you sense that urgency to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? I must work the works of Him that sent me. If you've received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you have been sent to follow the Lord. And you've been sent to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Ezekiel, you're a watchman to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you that are listening to my voice have recently come to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have lost parents and brothers and sisters and relatives that need to hear the Word of God. And like the apostles of old, you need to go and grab your family members and bring them to Jesus and show them and introduce them to the Savior who wants to do a great work. Notice the Word of God says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Here in the United States, God has blessed us with a tremendous open door. We at Central Florida Bible Church are taking advantage of every available means to get the gospel out. And God is using these means, and we're reaching out to touch people's lives. But you know, the greatest means of reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ is that one-on-one contact. Oh, may we have that desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, I must work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. How long will we have this tremendous freedom in our country to proclaim the Word of God? There may come a time in our blessed nation when the freedoms that we enjoy are taken away from us. And we'll still need to stand. We'll still need to proclaim the Word of God. But the point is, we must take advantage of the opportunities to give the gospel out. The Apostle Paul told the believers at Romans, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There may be a young man that's listening to my voice. Young man, God has saved you and He has called you to preach. And instead of standing on the promises and launching out and doing what God wants you to do and get out and get training and start serving the Lord, you haven't been standing on the promises, you've been sitting on the premises. And God has called you to go out. Are you willing to say, like the Apostle Paul, I'm a debtor. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. All of us need to be witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. God may not have called you into full-time Christian service, as individuals have that term to delineate as an occupation, but God has given us all the Great Commission. But you can never fully become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ until you see the progression of these four musts of Scripture. First is the must of the sinner. You need to pass from death unto life. Then there's the must of the Savior. Are you willing, as a sinner, to look to the Savior who alone is able to give you everlasting life? He's the one that was lifted up upon that cross, willing to die and take your sins upon Himself. Then there's the must of the saints. Once You come to the Savior as a sinner. You're transformed and changed into a saint because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is provided for you through the merits of His Son. And there's that obligation to have renunciation of all self-will and self-gain in your life. You know, John the Baptist had a very short ministry, and yet the Lord said, among them born of women, there has arisen none greater than John the Baptist. You may have been saved later in life, but there's great opportunity. The Lord is able to take those years that have been devoured by the locusts of sin and to multiply them. Oh, isn't it wonderful to say that we have a God of the second chance? Will you be willing to say, as John of old, Lord, You must increase in my life, I must decrease. And then the great servant's responsibility, number four, that we might proclaim, I must work the works of Him that sent me. Now you might be driving down the road listening to my voice. I'm wondering if you'll just now just bow your heart before God and say within your heart this morning, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm bound for hell. Your word says it, and I believe it. The word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I believe Jesus Christ bore my sins on the cross. And He did everything necessary for me to have everlasting life. Lord Jesus, I call upon You and Your promises and claim them for myself and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Help me to experience that regeneration, that eternal life that Your Word promises by receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Have you prayed that prayer? Won't you claim it and by faith be born again? Then there are some Christians that are listening to my voice. You may have passed through the way of redemption, but what about that renunciation? Are there some strongholds that you're not willing to surrender to the Lord? Some areas of unconfessed sin? Some unconfessed rebellion? Perhaps it's a relationship. Perhaps it's an occupation. It may be a goal that's keeping you from saying yes to unconditional obedience to the Lord. I'm challenging you this morning. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Then and only then will you be a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, able to do His work while it is yet day. Heavenly Father, thank You for our strength for today, Bible broadcast. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit would do great and wondrous works to those who listen to the message this morning, the four musts of Scripture. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that those that have made decisions, those that have spiritual needs, may they contact us that we might be able to have a special ministry of prayer with them. So bless them, and we'll give You the praise in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The best is yet to come when you walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club located in Winter Park, just three traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaefer inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.